Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome, kids. This is the second last episode of the year for the NFL for us. Conference championships. That's what it's all about. As always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Everybody's betting this weekend on these games. Looking forward to it. D'Anthony, do you think the four best teams made it?
Yes.
I do too.
100%.
Yep. I do too, and that's why I'm so excited about these games.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed in Buffalo. I mean, I know Von Miller was a big part of fixing the problem. Like, I've been complaining about them for 3 years because it's the same problem every year, right? Mm-hmm. On the defensive side, not on the offensive side. It's the same problem every single year. They could stand to have a better running back, I guess, but it's really that defensive side that fucked them over. And they, I mean, you know, kudos, they tried to improve, but you can't fuck somebody's legs if they get fucked up. It's just the way it is.
Sure.
So I was disappointed in that, but I do think, yeah, these are the four best teams.
I do too. And as the season went along, and I know I said this, you know, 10, 11 weeks ago, and Bob was none too plus, so I was like, look, we're down to fucking eight teams that are actually good in the NFL. These four, we're out of those eight. It's the same people, same with the national championship and everything else.
I'm not 100% sure that that isn't always the case, though. Right.
No, I mean, look, we have had outliers. Me personally, looking back at it over the years, you can definitely say the Giants those 2 years, right?
Because one of those years they were 9-7, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was some Christmas miracles out of Eli, the David Tyree catch, which, by the way, I think David Tyree is supposed to stop by the show when we're in Arizona.
Yeah, we'll see him.
There's been a couple outliers, but for the most part, most of these teams were pretty deserving over the years.
Yep. Both of the Giants teams, I think, were 9-7 that won the Super Bowl.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But they weirdly were one seeds and or had double digit wins in years around their Super
and
Bowl
and got bounced in the first round.
Yeah.
And then they just had one on their down, slight down years.
Yep. Also, Rob, are you going to apologize to Bills fans?
Oh, because I forgot that they were in a conference championship game.
Yeah, and I'm going to apologize to Bengals fans because I guess their Super Bowls are kind of close in the 80s when
missed field goal, right?
Not that one against the 49ers, though. They got fucking trucked.
No, they lost both their Super Bowls to the 49ers by less than a touchdown.
I think the Broncos got ass.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was
I wasn't born until 91, so fuck
yeah. Also, I'm sorry I forgot that you lost a Super Bowl. Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
well, yeah, the audience is coming after you because also the defenseless receiver in college football is an actual rule in there. You know that, right? So with the Marvin Harrison injury, yes, you can flag that as well.
Well, no one cares.
And also, that's the Marvin Harrison thing was a good hit. So
it's a great hit.
Defenseless receiver. He's out of bounds.
That was a great
hit. No, he wasn't out of bounds.
You know what I did learn?
Watch the play.
And maybe it's just a coincidence for this year. We'll see next year and the following year now with the new playoff format. But the week off did not have any effect whatsoever on either one. The Philly came out playing ballers after being off for a week. And Jalen Hurts had only played one game in the previous month and a half by that time. He still looked great. And the Chiefs looked great as well in their opening game. Not as good as they usually do because of injury, but, you know.
Well, it's tough. And that's, I think, what's going to affect all of this.
You see it in baseball and basketball, especially the if somebody has too much time off, if they sweep their series and the other team goes seven, usually it fucks over the team that finished early. The NFL, it doesn't seem to be like that, at least so far.
Yeah, so when we did the playoff show right when we started with Urlacher, and again, he'll be joining us in Arizona as well, when we did that show, and I said gun to head, who are your two Super Bowl teams, I had Chiefs versus 49ers, right? That has now changed with the Mahomes injury because I don't know what he's going to look like, how much movement he's going to have, and that's a big part of his game, going side to side like that. And it's a mystery to me. And therefore, the odds have changed. I mean, this is now down to a pick'em line. I can't remember seeing a pick'em, a true pick'em, in a conference championship like this to go to the Super mm-hmm. Bowl. And that's simply because we don't know with Mahomes. Now, this -2.5 for Philly, I understand, is usually the home team when it is close.
It's 2.5 or yep. 3, yeah, depending. Yeah.
Every single time. So I understand that. Before we get to these games here, I wanted to get your thoughts here on some of the player of the year, defensive player of the year, rookie of the year stuff that's going on in the NFL. I can't figure a lot of this out, man. I mean, they're doing a thing this year that's new where they're telling you the top three. Hey, here's the top mm-hmm. three for this category.
Yeah, I think baseball started that, right, Bob?
Yeah,
a couple years ago, with like you're the finalist for Cy Young, MVP, all this stuff.
Yes, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's fine. It's the reason I don't know why the NFL does it, because they announce during the playoffs, right? They don't wait until, like, baseball waits until after the playoffs are over, and then they kind of slow roll out all the awards and shit.
Right.
But I think, doesn't the NFL announce all their shit next week?
Well, they used to. So it used to just be like, hey, it's Sunday. Here we go. Here's all the people. And then you can have fun.
I mean, they're not going to have a ceremony because these dudes are spread to the four winds. And then a bunch of them are still playing, right?
Right, right. So usually they just give out the awards. And then that's kind of it. Mm. They'll go to whoever wins it. And you make a speech and everything else.
And if it's MVP or something, you get it the next season opening day or something like that. Right,
I'm not sure how they're doing that anymore.
No, the individual teams will do like a ceremony before the game the next season, but I don't think the NFL actually does any kind of ceremony, right?
I don't think so. I think it's up to the team, and the team will usually have a press conference here. But as far as we'll start with the defensive player of the year, see if you have any gripe with this one. This one I actually don't. It's Micah Parsons, who's that guy is a goddamn animal. Mm-hmm. I understand that. Chris Jones had a great season for the Chiefs, obviously. 15.5 sacks. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, you got Bosa, and Bosa is you know, heavily favored to win that.
Yep.
I don't have a problem with that category. Those three guys were kind of the top three guys. Anybody they're missing there?
No. I mean, honestly, I think that Micah Parsons is probably the best defensive player in the league. Probably the most impactful, but Bosa had 18.5 sacks, so he's going to win.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Unless you have like 130 fucking, unless you have eight or more. I think a couple of defensive backs have won it when they get eight or more picks in a season, but it's rare, you know. Yeah. Or if you have a guy that's like a, he's almost like a split defensive back that rushes the passer a lot and has some combination of 12 picks and sacks or something like that. But yeah, there's no way he's gonna lose this.
Yeah, I agree. So it looks like here for we'll go down to rookie of the year. Now, a lot of people had gripes with this one. A lot of people bitching on Twitter about this one today. Garrett Wilson from the Jets. Yes, I think we all knew he was going to be there. You got the running back for Seattle.
Yeah, I don't mind that one either, but Brock Purdy played four games.
Well, so I look, Walker was great for Seattle, but mm-hmm. even he didn't even come in, I think, until week four, maybe. Garrett Wilson played the entire year. Brock Purdy played five games.
Yeah.
And he's up for rookie of the year.
Yeah, that one's kind
of offensive
weird.
Rookie of the year. I don't understand that one at all. I know the internet was raging about Chris Olave. Chris Olave had over 1,000 yards down in New Orleans. With dog shit quarterbacks all year.
I think what Purdy did is more difficult.
What, for five games?
Yeah.
It might be.
Being a quarterback for five games is more difficult than being a wide receiver for
a whole season. Let's just say that's true, right? Being a quarterback on the 49ers is not more difficult than being a wide receiver on the Saints.
All right.
Right? You would you agree with that? Because the 49ers, you don't need much out of the quarterback to be able to win games. And in New Orleans, you were very slim on options.
I agree with that. I don't disagree with him being a finalist in what, I mean, like, what, who are the other people? Olave and who?
Garrett Wilson.
No, Olave's not on the list.
Olave's not on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
So he was left off for Purdy, which I don't really understand. Again, you play five games. So how are you comparing five games to a whole regular season for the rest of these guys? I don't really get it. Even Walker, I mean, Jesus Christ, the numbers he was putting up at running back in Seattle, that helped Seattle get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that. So I guess, you know, whenever I'm looking at, people have different opinions on this shit. When it's MVP, a lot of people just go with best player on the best team, right?
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, for the NFL, it's almost always going to be a quarterback, and it should, because that's the most important position on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But for all of these other ones, like something of the year, I feel like you got to go a little bit deeper into it than that. Like, how much impact did that person make on their team?
I mean, 13 touchdowns in 5 games is pretty fucking good. He threw, what, 2 interceptions?
No, he was great, yeah.
He was great, 100%, but it's 5 games.
A very,
like,
limited.
What would an entire year looked like for him?
He elevated their offense, like, significantly.
But trying to predict what he would have done for an entire year is really hard. I mean, it's 5 games versus a whole entire season.
Yeah, but they won all 5 of
games. He also
could have
got
his
leg fucking broken like Trey Lance did week 3.
Won every game.
But they won all 5 of the games he played in. I mean, and that did carry them with some momentum into the playoffs, and they're still there. I don't know if they take that into account or not. But I don't, you know, who would you replace him with? Olave, maybe? Yeah. I guess.
I mean, yes.
But to be honest,
people played a whole season.
Olave's not going to win.
5 games is too small of a sample size.
Garrett Wilson will probably win. So, or it'll be him or Walker.
Yeah, him or Walker. Vegas says Garrett Wilson, but Brock Purdy with 5 games, that's just not big enough for me. Like, you know, usually there is a minimum to be nominated for most awards in most major league sports. Mm. Apparently there is not in the NFL. Next up is MVP. Got Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Pat Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, and Justin Jefferson.
It's hard not to, just because of the numbers, it's hard not to say Patrick Mahomes.
I agree.
But the second place, in my opinion, would definitely be Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
It would. If Jalen Hurts didn't miss the games, it would probably be Hurts.
Probably, yeah, because the total TD numbers would be way closer.
Mahomes, I think, did just set the all-time record for total yards.
He did.
And by the way, you barely heard about it.
I know. And that's the thing with Mahomes. We take him for granted every single year, and his numbers are so disgusting. Once you actually look at them, you're like, ah, shit. But we just expect him to be great. Yeah. And I felt the same way, like, looking back at it with, like, Michael Jordan or Kobe, where, like, they were just dropping 40 points a game, so you got used to it. Yep. And you were just kind of lazy about it.
And they say Jordan lost MVPs just out of, like, fatigue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, people were you're not impressing me anymore.
There was a season, I think it was it 87 or 88, somewhere between 86 and 88, where Jordan, in the modern NBA, modern-ish NBA, but before three-pointers are a big deal, was scoring 37.5 points a game.
Yeah.
For a whole season. That's like, if somebody did that right now, you'd be like, holy shit.
Like, there's no one else to talk about.
Yeah. Because even last night, like I said, you know, as football starts to wind down, then I'll start to get back into basketball. I flipped on that Lakers game last night and had it on in the background. And everybody knows I hate LeBron. But even last night, I was just like, oh my God, dude. I mean, he dropped 46 last night at 38 years old and was bombing threes. I think he set his personal best. I think he had 9 three-pointers in that game last night.
Yeah, but his PER is way down.
Yes.
So it's like he's putting up Westbrook numbers at this point. But he's still very impressive.
But he has to. Yeah. Because AD is out. All these guys are out. And he doesn't really have any help out there.
LeBron James is 8th in the league in PER.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's still fucking insane.
It's ridiculous. It's insane. And at 38 years old, as much as, you know, I might not like the person, I can respect the artist here. Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ. Watching that last night, I was like, God damn, man. He's only 189 points, because they're doing the tracker. Mm-hmm. He's only 189 points away from breaking Kareem's record, and you're just like, Jesus Christ.
Say what you want about him, but, like, and people like to shit on him for being, like, dumb in certain ways, like never reading past the first page of a book. Fair.
Yeah.
However, on the court, one of the smartest dudes I've ever watched.
Yes.
Like, he understands every ounce of what's happening.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to Hurts v. Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes ended up with 45 total TDs. And I think Hurts was at 35. So maybe if he, I don't know, even if he had played those other games, because Mahomes just had a great year. And by the way, the year after losing Tyreek Hill, you know,
Just
give it to Mahomes.
Yeah.
He was better without Tyreek Hill. I'm not saying he doesn't need him or anything like that, but he put up better numbers than he did in his last year.
Well,
with Tyreek Hill.
But here's the crazy thing. So we'll get to offensive player of the year, right? Pat Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson. So, like, Tyreek Hill didn't need Mahomes either. He still had one of the best years of his life.
I don't understand how, I guess there's only 3 players, but, man, it's hard not to see Travis Kelce on there, to be honest. Like,
he had a bad, he didn't score a touchdown for, like, the last 7 games.
Oh, really?
He kind of slid off. Mm. Yeah. He had a great season, but second half kind of, I don't know if he was getting more coverage or what it was, but he had a touchdown deficit for
it's
a
like
while.
That mm-hmm. Calvin Johnson year where he broke the record for receptions.
But he only had eight touchdowns.
Yeah, touchdowns. Yeah. I had him on fantasy that year. That's what's odd to me, because I thought for sure one would hurt the other, because it didn't Green Bay. When Devontae Adams left, Adams had a great season with a shitty quarterback in Vegas, whereas Aaron Rodgers did not have a great season without a good wide receiver there in Green Bay. So it's pretty impressive that Tyreek Hill was able to go somewhere else, a completely new offense, and put up the same exact numbers he does every fucking year. But that just proves his greatness.
You got to think that Offensive Player of the Year is Mahomes as well. To be honest, Hurts isn't going to. If Hurts doesn't meet it for MVP, he's not going to meet it for Offensive Player of the Year. Jefferson, because he's a wide receiver, maybe, just because it's a different position and they don't want to give the same award or give an award to the same dude more than one time. But I think it's going to be Mahomes there as well.
Yeah, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Aiden Hutchinson for the Lions.
There's no way Aiden Hutchinson doesn't win this. He fucking dominated from the first snap of the season. Sauce Gardner also missed the last couple of games, didn't he?
I've got Sauce Gardner, but because they would not throw his way. I mean, that guy was fucking elite. It's two entirely different positions. Mm-hmm. Whereas Aiden Hutchinson's got to, go against the best of the best every single week to try to get after the quarterback. I guess Sauce Gardner in a way too. He's got to go up against the best wide receivers, but tough one there. And then the third one is Tyreek Woolen out of Seattle. I think
he had six picks. I mean, he tied with Minka and Simmons from Denver and Sauce for the most picks in the league this year.
Yeah, I would still lean on Sauce. How many sacks did Aiden have there for the Lions?
That's a good question. Hang on.
Because I know he kind of picked it
Nine and a half.
Nine and a half. Mm-hmm. For a rookie, Jesus, that's great. It's great. I think it's a toss-up, but I'll go with Gardner if I'm gambling on this.
I don't have a problem with any of those picks, though.
Yeah, me neither.
Those are all, both of those
guys.
These
are all correct. Yeah.
They stepped in, and the Lions defense... the Jets have a good overall defense, but the Lions defense overperformed this year, so maybe that gets taken into consideration.
Yeah. Comeback player of the year.
If you don't give this to Geno Smith, who fucking ever, unless it was Alex Smith coming back after his leg got fucked up and he won MVP or something, you give it to him then. But Geno Smith came from, people thought this guy was dead, I think.
I did.
And to be honest, he had the best season of his career.
Yeah. His entire life. Geno Smith.
Any Seahawk.
Anyone. Any quarterback in Seahawks history.
Well, that's not saying that much, is it?
Well, look.
Even Russ's best years, it was like 3,500 yards,
right? I know. So Geno Smith, Christian McCaffrey, and then Saquon Barkley.
I mean, McCaffrey was healthy wire to wire this year.
Yeah.
For the first time in a while.
But that... it's just health.
Yeah. But like, I mean, he put up good numbers.
Hey, he stayed alive. No. I mean, he put up good numbers.
But he always does that.
Just for staying alive, you get the comeback player of the year award.
Saquon as well. But Geno Smith, I think the reason that I say Geno is because I knew that if Saquon and McCaffrey played full seasons, they're going to get their numbers because they're fucking amazing athletes.
Right.
Not that Geno isn't, but nobody expected Geno to do what he did in Seattle.
No, I did not.
Like, not one person. Nope. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure most people talk shit, quite a bit of shit.
Not only did I talk shit, but even in fantasy football in all of our leagues, I did not draft a Seattle Seahawks player because I didn't draft DK Metcalf because I didn't think Geno could throw to him.
Yeah.
I didn't draft any of the running backs because I thought they'd be behind all the time. I thought this was going to be the worst team in the league by far, and they weren't.
Yeah.
So that affected everything. Yes, I think Geno Smith is a shoo-in for this. Next up is Coach of the Year. You got Sean McDermott out of the Bills, Nick Sirianni for the Eagles, Kyle Shanahan from the 49ers, Brian Daboll out of the Giants, and then Doug Peterson out of the Jaguars.
No Pete Carroll.
No Pete Carroll in this one, which is surprising.
Yeah, that is surprising. Daboll probably overperformed the most, but I think I would go Sirianni.
I would have swapped out McDermott with... Pete Carroll on this because the Bills team was the same.
Yeah,
they're putting up the same wins and losses every year.
They didn't do anything that great.
Yeah. No, they were just the exact same team that they've been for the last 3 years. They're good.
Yeah, they were just hoping that Von Miller would plug that hole.
Yeah.
I don't understand why McDermott would be in there over Andy Reid, for example. Yeah. Like, who, again, and he doesn't deserve to be on there either.
I mean, he lost a primary offensive weapon, and I mean, look, you still get the best player in football, but
right.
Yeah, I agree with that. But Sirianni, so the job of the coach, we talk about this all the time, the mistake people make is I'm a coach with a system. And I'm going to go get guys and put them into my system. But Sirianni was a coach with players.
Yep.
And he said, you know what? I'm going to develop my system around these specific players. To me, that's what Andy Reid's been doing on offense for years. He hasn't been running the same offense since the fucking Eagles. It's been different shit, depending on the personnel. And that's what a great NFL coach does. It's what fucking, I mean, look, there have been 2 years when the Patriots actually had offensive talent. And Bill Belichick made full use of them. But every other year, he did what he had to do with the people he had. So, that's a great coach to me. I think Sirianni absolutely needs to win this.
Okay, so for me, it's Doug Peterson, and I'll tell you why. Obviously, he took over for Urban. Now, for me personally in the offseason, I was starting to believe that Trevor Lawrence was a bust. Maybe ATN wasn't that good.
Yeah, but you thought the same thing about fucking Jalen Hurts.
Right. But
I mean, the refrain.
They both got two good coaches.
It wasn't
in
just
there.
You. The refrain for most people was like, Philly only needs a quarterback.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, cool. They got one.
Like, we'll see.
Well, do they? Right? I mean, but now we know they do. So it's like, it's the same thing.
It's so hard for me to be sold on him.
Peterson definitely lifted the Jaguars more than Sirianni lifted the Eagles. Because even with a shitty coach, the Eagles still would have won 10 games.
Probably. Yes. I agree. Whereas Peterson down there with Jacksonville, what did they have to win? Like their last six in a row? Yeah. And then they won their first playoff game.
And they went 1-5 to open the season. Right. Shit. So you got to blame him for that if you're going to give him credit for the second half.
I'll say don't sleep on Shanahan for winning as many games as he did with three different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason that he makes this list for me. It was the exact same reason where it's three different quarterbacks, same year, and then you've got to plug these fucking guys in and do it. But
Mike McDaniel's not on here for D'Amico Ryans is on for DC for assistant coach of the year, but McDaniel's not on here for OC. I don't think.
McDaniel's out of where?
Mike McDaniel, the offensive coordinator for the 49ers. He's not on the assistant coach of the year.
Well, as far as the offense for the 49ers.
Dude, they didn't start the same team more than one game.
I understand, but it's not sexy enough for shit like this.
Maybe not.
Whereas, I mean, you mean
for the Dolphins, the head coach of the Dolphins.
Yeah. So it's like, I won't do it. I won't put them in there. Assistant coach of the year is Eagles OC Shane Steichen. How do you pronounce his name, Delco? Steichen?
Nah, you got it.
Which one is it?
You got it.
Which one? Yep. Yeah, nobody knows either. D'Amico Ryans, who's taken every fucking job underneath the planet, job interview on under the sun these days.
I guess Shanahan does call the plays there, too, so...
He's OC. Yeah, he calls the offense. And then you got the Lions OC Ben Johnson.
They scored points.
To me, this is D'Amico Ryans from the 49ers. That defense is the craziest I've seen since that Ravens Super Bowl
win.
And I think he's probably at the top of the list for most people for a head coach. This will be his last year in San Francisco, right? He's taken four job interviews already.
Maybe I don't know. Do you get the sense that people are starting to get wary about coordinators becoming head coaches?
Well, look.
Because there is no, it's not the same job.
It isn't, but Salah's been great in the Jets, because they turn the Jets around. And then homeboy down in Miami, they're all kind of coming underneath that 49ers tree now. So, yeah, I think D'Amico Ryans is going to get a shot here.
I mean, current NFL coaches who were recently coordinators, Kyle Shanahan, Nick Sirianni. I think Sean McDermott was as well. Like, all of them were, right?
I mean, Mike McDaniels, too, was 14. That's what I was reading. He's done a pretty good job.
McDermott
in
used
Miami
to be the DC
well.
For the Eagles. He was terrible.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, he wasn't good.
That's funny.
What do you think to a guy? So, who's in line for a head coach that's a defensive minded team?
Right now,
I mean, that's where you think this kind of guy would go.
Texans,
maybe. Yeah, Matt Rule is kind of defensive.
Panthers just had a guy who should only be a DC as head coach.
Yeah,
so I don't know that they're going to go DC again.
Well, that's what I was thinking. There's been a lot of coordinators that have not done well recently. Well, there's a lot that have, I guess. This is just not like because you're a good coordinator doesn't mean you're going to be a good head coach.
Also, DC is a harder sell. DC to head coach is a harder sell.
OC is much easier. I mean, O'Connell with the Vikings had a really good season.
Yeah, because if you can put up a shit ton of points, you've got a shot to win any game.
What about, I've been hearing people talk about the 49ers promoting Dan Quinn, or 49ers, the Cowboys promoting Dan Quinn to head coach and then going out and getting a new like DC or something, or even letting him just continue play calling.
So Dan Quinn was the head coach of the Falcons for years, and that's the year we went to the Super Bowl. I think he is a very good head coach, but he is a defensive-minded guy, and you definitely need a very, very strong OC. So if you're going to do that, I think you got to fire Kellen Moore and then bring in somebody sexy as OC.
I mean, they should fire Kellen Moore either way.
Yes.
And he's also one of the greatest defensive coordinators in the league.
Who? Dan Quinn?
Dan Quinn.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He's the new Wade Phillips.
Yeah. Right? He was Legion of Boom with the Seahawks.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he needs to just stay as a DC.
I agree with that, but I mean, imagine, what does he want to is the question.
Well, I mean, if they continually pay their... I mean, look, Belichick has maintained his same core for a while on two separate occasions. Every single year, everybody's like, oh, fucking... Charlie Weiss is leaving, or it's every single year for years, and they stayed there for a very long time, longer than anybody expected. And Jerry's a really loyal dude, so I assume there's probably some loyalty in the other direction. But Quinn's got to get tired of fucking losing. He's got to get tired of his fucking defense performing, the offense not performing. Because ultimately, you want to win fucking games. You want to put a trophy up on the mantle.
But he's also been there, and he knows what it takes on the other side. Yeah. And does he look at the OC and be like, well, we just don't have that? Because he did work with Shanahan. I mean, Kyle Shanahan was the OC for the Falcons.
Yeah. Credit to him.
When Dan Quinn was head coach.
Credit to him for hiring Kyle Shanahan.
Yes. And so could he do that again is the question. And like, it's worth a shot. Me personally, I would try to back up the truck for Sean Payton.
It's going to be Dallas. $20 million.
Yeah,
but Jerry doesn't
fine.
Give a fuck.
Doesn't
there's
care.
There's no salary cap on head coaches.
But he said after the game he was not going to fire him. So I don't know, man.
There's
is that
no
worth it. Do you really want to pay Sean Payton $20 million?
Who cares? I mean,
if he can finally win a fucking title, yes,
is just Sean, one. Yeah, but is Sean Payton a good coach?
Yes.
He won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He did. He could have won multiple.
It was about the way he took chances on players and developed them. Like, nobody believed in Drew Brees. They thought his shoulder was done.
Yeah. And look, there was that one PI call that would have brought him back to the Super Bowl.
Terrible luck calls.
Very good chance they beat the Patriots in that Super Bowl.
Yes. That might just be karma. I mean, they had the fucking hit
Bounty gate.
Oh, whatever. You'd think every NFL team's not doing that already.
They could have been the only one.
Like, baseball for years has had what they call the kangaroo court.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Where if you like take somebody out, you get credit, but if you do something stupid, you get fined by the team. Yeah. That's been going on forever.
It's been going on for years. So we'll see down there, but you know, I think D'Amico Ryans will definitely get his shot. He'll be somewhere.
I mean, this was an all-time great defense, so if any, that's probably true.
Dan Quinn, on the other hand, look, he was a good head coach for the Falcons, but he needed a good OC. Once he lost that OC, that's when the Falcons went down the toilet. So
also, he has a lot of fun toys on the Cowboys defense right now, so does he want to leave?
I mean, he's got the fun toy, right? He's got the best defensive player in all of football. But that doesn't mean, like, Shanahan still, he's basically the offensive coordinator in San Francisco, right?
Right.
Yes. Yeah,
I don't think that Quinn would have a problem being the head coach and the DC on this team.
If you could get a good OC there.
But,
So
you got to have a guy that's like in people's asses on the offensive side to motivate them, because you're going to lose Zeke, which, you know, whatever. But he rushed for 850 yards last year.
Yeah.
In addition to everything Pollard did, he ran for another 850. So
I think their biggest problem is what you do with Dak Prescott. Like,
well, they need receivers for him to throw to as well.
CeeDee Lamb is great.
If you can win with Garoppolo and you can win with Brock Purdy, you can win with Dak Prescott. The problem is they're not doing the offense the way they need to do it. Right. They're
with
not
like the 10 yard outs and shit.
They're not tailoring it to Dak Prescott.
You got
to
bring in Dan Mullen.
Yeah, well, it's not sexy, right? So is that the Cowboys style?
Sexy.
I know, I understand that, but it's not the Cowboys style, right?
Yeah, it is.
So those 10-yard outs like that.
That's how they played in the 90s.
No, but you had Emmitt Smith, and you had a fucking bruiser, and then you had Michael Irvin going deep all the time. Like, who was their tight end to, like...
Witten?
Yeah.
Wait, no, that was later.
No, it was later, but...
That was a promo.
But yeah, they just had a fun... The triplets. It was a fun, sexy team where you're like, we're scoring a bunch of points.
Yeah, but Dak and CeeDee Lamb...
Cocaine.
Dak and CeeDee Lamb and another fucking... You can't win in the NFL with one great receiver anymore.
And also, Jimmy Johnson might just be the greatest coach of all time.
Could be. Could be. I mean, look, he won a college championship. Mm-hmm. He won multiple NFL Super Bowls. Like, you never know. You never know. We'll see. In the meantime, we got some sponsors to put the shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Mattresses, 30% off there. Okay. Promo code drinking bros at checkout, and you're good to go there. And 40% off if you want the adjustable base mattresses as well. And that's a mattress combined with the adjustable base. You get 40% off that. And then peruse the catalog. They got sheets. They got weighted blankets, all the things. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros for 30% off. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. They got a 60-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest as long as you have decent credit there. Check that box. Walk out of there with a brand new bedroom set for about $25 a month at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Next up, we got mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. You know the rules, kids. All the odds we're about to read for the conference championships are from mybookie.com. Overs, unders, ton of prop bets, ton of fun on Sunday. And they've even got squares this year. So you can buy a square. Just buy a fucking square like you're at your neighbor's house. And you can get in on all the fun all day Sunday, and enjoy your life. Head on over to mybookie.com and bet with us or against us using the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. Last but not least, if you want to go to the games, if you're rich, you want to go to these games on Sunday, tickets are high, especially for that 49ers game. Man, those fuckers travel. Benny is all in on the 49ers. He's like, hey man, I don't give a fuck what happens, just get the 49ers in the goddamn Super Bowl. They travel, they spend. If you have the money for it, the tickets are expensive. Out in Philly this weekend, head on over to drinkingbrostickets.com. just about $10 cheaper than StubHub. That's it. All right, before we get into these picks, Mel Kiper's mock draft dropped today. I want to ask you your thoughts on this.
Well, he caveats. He has Chicago taking Jalen Carter number one, and if you read the caveat, it's like they're you can tell he's thinking the same thing we all are, is that they're going to trade down.
They're going to trade, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to go down there. But for 100%, forget about that pick, because what's probably going to happen is some team is going to snipe C.J. Stroud away from Houston. The last little Lovie Smith fuck you.
Yeah.
Right? But regardless of that, I think Jalen Carter probably is the first defensive player to come off. I mean, he is a game-changing run stopper.
He is. His cardio, look, and I know Todd McShay said this as well, like that, you know, he's got a character issue. And it was within the locker room. Mm-hmm. And that's what he said. And as far as that concerned, like I saw it in that Ohio State game, like he was so gassed, he didn't play half the snaps. And you wonder what his work ethic is actually like. For me, I'm a character guy like you. Yeah. Like, I would rather take Will Anderson Jr. Somebody safe if you have the number one pick.
Will Anderson's a bit more flexible position-wise, too, because he can drop back in coverage, and Jalen Carter cannot drop back in coverage. I mean, look, interior defensive guys
don't really have to, but
if you can get an edge rusher who can also play outside linebacker, then...
Because remember, you know, Aiden Hutchinson last year, you know, the only gripe was that was the safe pick. Well, it's like sometimes you just need to do the safe pick.
Yeah.
To me, if you're at one and it is Chicago, let's say Chicago doesn't trade, I think you got to go Will Anderson Jr. That is the safest pick to me. Whereas Jalen Carter, if you believe the character issues and everything else, that's so much of a gamble on one. It would fuck you.
More impact off the edge, too.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. Than a tackle.
But also more flexible. I mean, you can drop it. He can also drop back in coverage. We've seen him do it.
Yeah, because he plays not only defensive end, but outside linebacker. Yeah. So, like, I would.
I mean, I'm just thinking about matching up against. Let's just look in the AFC right now, right? I'm thinking about matching up in the playoffs versus the Chiefs with Kelce or the Bengals with fucking Hurst, who's had a great fucking second half of the season. You need somebody that can do both.
Yeah.
You need a guy on the edge that can fucking drop back and at least jam that dude up a little bit so he's not crushing you.
And I mean, statistically, yeah, they'll make more of an impact, but I think it's more important to have that interior defensive lineman that just kind of like plugs things up for the next 10 years.
It is. If he's the guy, and like, you know, all these guys, like Todd McShay was saying, the NFL execs know what you had for fucking breakfast. I think that'll change. I really do. I think this order will swap.
Maybe.
Because at two, he's got C.J. Stroud going to the Texans. Now,
yeah, I said Stroud. I meant Bryce Young.
I was going to say.
I would be surprised.
Because this I don't understand.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he went first.
And again, going back to what I said about one, safety first, to me, Bryce Young the safest pick in this draft.
I get it.
And I take Bryce Young over CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud, look, you guys know I'm a fucking diehard Buckeye and all that stuff, but his movement laterally and getting out of the pocket and then just running downfield.
Was this the argument that Stroud has a higher ceiling? But
no, you guys are overlooking. Oh my God, I can't believe you guys did.
The simplest
you're overlooking
explanation.
Yeah.
What?
He's taller.
No, not even that.
Well, that too.
That Stroud's taller?
Yeah, Stroud's much taller.
He is much taller. But
the most simplest explanation is they're the Texans.
Yeah.
And they're just going to fuck it up.
I understand they're going to fuck it, but I'm just saying if I was running one of these organizations, that's where my mind would go.
If you can bet on draft picks, put a floater on Will Levis.
You can.
Number two.
You can.
Yeah.
Well, he's on the list.
So we'll get there.
So the question about CJ Stroud is his motor, right?
Yeah.
Like I don't.
He's so very smart, extremely hard worker behind the scenes. Like that everybody said, like the guy is extremely motivated, film studies.
Yeah, but
all
I want
that
a gamer.
Stuff. Same.
I want a guy who comes out attacking.
Same.
All the time. Yep. As a quarterback in the NFL, if you're fucking back on your heels, you're going to get murdered.
Mm-hmm. There's the sort of like too chill. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Like you like that to an extent. Like you like a guy with ice in his veins or who's not going to be rattled. But at the same time, like, you don't want him to not get an adrenaline hit.
Right. Right. Aaron Rodgers is like that, ice in his veins. But when he sees a defender offside or 12 men on the field, he's like, snap the fucking ball.
Right.
Let's take advantage. You got to have that killer instinct. I'm not sure CJ Stroud has it. Although
I don't either.
He looked fucking good against Georgia. It's
not
in
his the CFP,
fault.
He fucking came out of nowhere. I mean, that was a totally different CJ Stroud than we're used to seeing. So if that's who he is now.
But he was also forced to be that guy, whereas like you should want to be that guy before.
So you're saying he came out when he was forced, when he was called to action, he actually performed.
Right.
How is that a bad thing?
It's not. It's not, but
you have a small, one game sample size of that. Whereas for me personally, I look at what Bryce Young did for 2 years versus CJ Stroud for 2 years. And again, this is just going safety here. My safety would be on Bryce Young for a franchise going forward. And
but Bryce Young's only 6 foot tall.
Right, he is.
Right.
But in that Texas game we were at, for example, when I looked at, it was close. And truthfully, Texas could have won. Not only did Bryce Young never look rattled, but when it was, fourth and 12 or fourth and 10 on that last drive, he was just so like, oh, all right, fuck it. I'll just take off and run. And he was so fast to get that first down where it was just like, oh, it's just that easy for you. He never looked rattled. He never, like, there was no doubt Alabama was going to win that game. And they, by all means, shouldn't have, but they just kind of looked out of sorts. And then at the end of the game, he's like, all right, great. I'll fucking play. Let's just win the game. To me, that's the guy I bet on. Where if I'm going to put CJ Stroud somewhere he can actually succeed, it would probably be with the Saints. If you pair him up, I look at him like a Tua project, where it's going to take a few years to figure it out if you're willing to put the time in. But I think if you put him up with his college wide receivers again, they know each other, they've got a familiarity and all that other stuff, the Saints would probably be the best option for CJ Stroud. You put him at the Texans, when you draft a quarterback this high, you expect that dude to be your franchise, win all the games, do all the cool shit. I don't know that he's that guy for the Texans.
Well, the Texans, unless they're going to run Mills out there another year or two, they need somebody to come in now, too.
Yes, like tomorrow. Whoever they draft is starting opening day next
year. You would think
year.
So. Mills is still on the team, but who knows? I think, to be honest, considering all that, Will Levis is probably the smartest pick here.
Yeah.
For the Texans?
Yeah. I know they're not going to make the smartest pick. I'm just
saying. They're not going to make it?
Like,
Will Levis sucks.
No,
not
we know, but as for the Texans, if you're making a pick for the Texans, wouldn't they draft Will Levis and be like, fuck you.
Probably.
Guys.
That's what I just said. I said, bet Levis. Here's my thing, though.
Because they're like, he's a senior. He's polished. He can step in day one. None of that fucking matters.
It don't matter who they draft if they don't do well on the coaching hire.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't matter. They're going to fuck it up.
Yes. Yeah.
If the coach is not good, the quarterback is probably fucked. It's a miracle. This is how good Deshaun Watson was. I know he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson was so good that he was good playing under Bill O'Brien.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Didn't Bill O'Brien just go somewhere else?
He's
too?
The Pat's OC again.
Which is where he belongs.
Yeah.
Go full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stay there, dude. Yeah. Stay there.
Stay there. Next up, they got three. Will Anderson to the Cardinals. I think it'd be a gift for the Cardinals if he ends up there. Mm-hmm. Good for them.
I mean, they're either going to take him or they're going to take Jalen Carter if he's available.
Yeah, one of the two, and good for them. Like, yeah, you're at three. You're in a great spot.
Yeah.
Because you've already backed up the truck for a shitty quarterback, mm-hmm. so you can't get out of that contract. So you're stuck with the midget for years to come. You might as well get a good defense and then hopefully not have to rely on him to win games for you. Next up, they got Bryce Young at four to the Colts. That would be an absolute fucking steal for the Colts. If he's there at four, there's just no way, right?
I mean, they're going to take him or Stroud unless somebody trades into that first
pick. Someone will trade into the first pick.
You would think so. So, I mean, I don't know. If I'm the Colts, I wouldn't take Will Levis there.
Yeah.
At number four, there's no fucking way.
Well,
like, if it's Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, I'll take them at four, but I'm not taking Will Levis at four.
Will Levis is big kiss and titties energy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's big. Well, I don't even know that guy's name. I just know he kissed titties.
Mitch Trubisky?
He's big Mitch Trubisky energy.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a lot of confidence in him either, which they've got him going at five to Seattle. And that's the trade via the Broncos, obviously, for Russ Wilson.
That's a lot of disrespect for Geno, who just went 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio, 30 touchdowns for the first time in his career. The best season any quarterback has ever had in that city.
Yeah.
And you're going to draft some fuckface. In the first round, draft a goddamn wide receiver for him to throw to for the next couple of years.
Well, they have great wide receivers. So they got DK Metcalf, they got Tyler Lockett, yeah. and they've got a good wide receiver tight end in Noah Font.
Just get a fucking weapon, yeah.
You have a great running back in Walker.
Get a weapon.
Penny's coming back.
Get another great tight end. Get a weapon.
Or a line. It could be a defensive weapon.
You need a defensive player.
Yeah.
Because their defense is trash.
If they draft Will Levis, they're fucking insane. And they're not going to.
There's no way.
Not Will Levis. Who does it?
I don't know.
That Will Levis is who.
That's Mel Kiper says.
Levis, that's stupid. Fucking insane.
I
have one of the better offenses in the league this year.
Yeah. Like, look, the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers when they had a pretty good offense too, but that's not the world we live in anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this team, Geno's 32.
Maybe that's what they're thinking, and Will will sit behind him for a year. Like, I don't know.
With that Packers draft pick, think about this. Yeah, they got a lot of wins out of Aaron Rodgers. I can't say it's a bad thing because Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game, and they got a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, right? But they only got one Super Bowl. What if instead they draft a more win now piece for Brett Favre teams that were making deep playoff runs at the time? And they don't lose earlier in the playoffs, and they win another Super Bowl. The same amount of fucking Super Bowls that they've won either way.
But Brett Favre was always like, I don't know if I'm going to come back next year.
This was before that. It was a couple. They drafted Rodgers a couple years before.
He did that every year.
Yeah, he did it every year, and that's why Rodgers got stuck. He was sitting on the bench waiting for Brett Favre to make his decision. We'll see. I think this would be a horrific decision for Seattle, but maybe. But a trade at the top will nuke all of that anyways. At six, they got Tyree Wilson, defensive end, going to Detroit via the Rams there. Fine. It's not terrible. Build up that defense.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit's they've got a pretty good setup offensively. I mean, Goff played better in goddamn Detroit than he played in L.A. somehow. I don't know how that – maybe it's coaching. It's not talent. It's not the assets because the assets – well, Jamal Williams is fucking great.
Jamal Williams is great, but why not get a wide receiver there, I guess?
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Same.
I mean, if you then you've got a real trifecta going on. I mean,
yeah.
The Lions had a pretty good season, but they can do – I don't know. I would take defense there probably, but
right now it's where he's got him slated. Seven is Peter Skoronski, offensive tackle for the Raiders. He will protect Tom Brady next year, and that'll be fun for those guys. That was probably Brady's request. Mm-hmm. Hey, go get me some offensive tackles. We've got enough talent on the.
What do you think the chances are? Brady announces their first pick.
Very high, or he's making the first pick.
Yeah,
him and McDaniels are on the phone now. Next up for the Falcons, Miles Murphy, defensive end. Look, Falcons need everything across the board, and the Lamar Jackson. Heat is starting to pick up more fucking conversation as we move along here. Everybody's asking what I'm thinking about. We tried it with Vic. It didn't work. Yes, it would put asses in the seats. Yes, I would watch Falcons games again. Do I think he could win a Super Bowl? No.
Look, the Falcons are Lamar Jackson's not going there. They're so far away from being a good team.
Well, but the Falcons have the money.
They have the money, but he wants to win.
We'll see. Because if the Ravens gave him the money, he stays in Baltimore. If they don't, I think he'll just sign for the highest paycheck he can get.
I don't know.
That's not type of dude he is.
I just don't see that.
He was that type of dude this season. So
because he,
yeah, because like he's putting his body at risk, and it's been going on for 4 years now, and they won't give him a fucking contract.
It's so grim there. But yeah. Now's the time, right? He's what, 26?
Let me check.
This next contract for a running quarterback like this,
he can sling it. He's not just a running quarterback.
No. Yeah, I understand that too. But that's why he's gotten so many injuries. So. Mm. I think
so. Don't go to a team where you have to do everything.
Right. And so, but with that, you'll probably take less money because they won't have the cap for it. So it'll be up to him. It really will. If he goes to the Falcons, it's purely a money play.
He should go to the fucking Raiders.
Look, if he wants to win, he goes to San Francisco. If he wants the money, he goes to the Falcons, because there's only two teams that can afford him right now. And it's Chicago and in Atlanta. With the money they have on cap.
Vegas might be able to do it since they got rid of Carr and they didn't take a huge cap hit because of that. I don't know. I have to look at those numbers.
The Devontae Adams contract is so massive, though. I don't know that they could.
There's no one who won't make room for him.
Adams will restructure to get a good quarterback back in there.
By the way, and Rodgers said he would restructure yesterday on McAfee.
Yeah, but he said,
but maybe not for
if I decide to play again.
Well, and if I decide to play for the Packers, which tells me, great, if I want to go win somewhere or go back to the Packers, who aren't going to win next year. So that'll be completely up to Lamar Jackson. But I think it'll be very telling if he goes to the Falcons. Then it was clearly about money, because that team sucks. So we'll see.
I like this, that six pick for Detroit taking Wilson, though, an interior defender. Man, to have him and Hutchinson lined up next to each other for the next 10 years, that's not a bad idea for the Lions.
No, the Lions this year through the first.
Because they got Amon Ross St. Brown. He's young. What is he, like 23 or 24?
Yeah.
The Lions through the first like 7 or 8 games this year, essentially like, they were scoring like 32-ish points a game and allowing like 33-ish points a game. They were 9-8, I think.
Yeah.
They were honestly probably an extra guy away
from 13 wins.
Yeah,
for real. Especially as weak as the NFC North is now. Like, the Bears are going to suck for a little while still. Probably another 2 years at least before they can really get that dude some help.
Yep.
The Packers are on the downslope, especially when Rodgers leaves. And the Vikings just make sure the game's important and they'll fucking lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how it works. So, man, that's Detroit. It's weird to think that Detroit might be a fucking powerhouse. With a couple of key moves, they could be like a legit powerhouse.
I like it, dude. I like the coach.
Because they've sucked forever.
I enjoyed the Hard Knocks. This is the first time I enjoyed it, not because of the players, just because of the coach. The coaches were entertaining, but they were passionate about what they were doing, and I was in. Like, I enjoyed watching the Lions play this year. They always covered, too, financially. So,
anyways, not at 9, he's got the Panthers taking Richardson.
Wow.
Look, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked I don't know who it is that Houston's looking at hard, but if that dude gets sniped with that first pick, don't be shocked if they go with a guy like Richardson.
Whew.
It's like a gamble, man.
Number 9 to Carolina.
I could see him being not at the level of player, but as sort of like Pat Mahomes type of guy, where it's like, that guy, they traded up for that guy, because no one was high on him when he got drafted, right? It was all about Deshaun Watson shit like that. And obviously, like, Richardson could be a dude. Richardson could be a fucking guy.
I would trust Richardson more than Will Levis.
He's in the draft this year, he's got the best quarterback body. Not that that always matters, but sometimes it does. Like, Ryan Leaf had a great quarterback body, too.
Oh, Will Levis does? Yeah.
No, Anthony Richardson.
Oh,
he's 6'4", and he's thick, and he can move around.
Yeah.
But the thing that I watched 4 of the games for Florida this year, the thing that impressed me the most, he didn't have any help.
None.
But his ability to read through his progressions quickly and make good-ish decisions is pretty good. And I think that's the hardest thing to teach. So a guy that would be replacement level to a little bit better than that immediately, he might be the best guy in the draft for that.
And having lived,
if you're looking for like a placeholder or something, he might be the best guy.
And having lived in North Carolina, you're trying to fill that stadium, which it's a fucking huge stadium. If you haven't been there, it's massive. You need a guy like him or Cam or McCaffrey or some of those guys just to bring in fans that are just interested in the game.
Well, the problem,
this guy would certainly do it. I would watch the Panthers games just to see what this kid did.
But his problem is that his mechanics suck and he can't complete passes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which that should be the easiest part to fix, because that's about footwork and good mechanics.
Yeah.
All the stuff that is like, the intangible stuff, he does really well. So I wonder, I don't know if we've seen a guy like that who just has sloppy mechanics that somebody's been able to mold very quickly into a functioning NFL quarterback.
We'll see.
Because nothing is easy.
No.
You still, no matter what fucking talent you have, there's still 350-pound dudes running 4.4s at you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So fuck that.
And then at 10 here, because he's just got his top 10 out today, the most unfair pick in the draft goes to the Eagles at 10. My God, man. Via trade for the Saints. Who was it? Who did the Saints trade for this? Because the Eagles could very well go to the Super Bowl, and now they've got the 10th pick in the draft. What fucking pick was that that they ended up getting?
I forget.
Jesus Christ.
It was like pick swaps, so like future down the line.
That's crazy, man. At 10?
First round picks.
Well, they didn't know. They didn't trade it last year.
So
no, I know, but like, what are the chances? You know, your team gets good, and then you got the 10th pick in the draft on top of it? Fuck.
It's a trade from back in the day, and they decided to activate on one of them this year, I think is what happened. But it's... It was a pick swap.
Okay.
From a while back.
All right.
But
it's Kalijah Kansi, a defensive tackle
here.
Fuck
yeah, dude. And you're like, you're talking about having, I don't know how much Fletcher Cox has left on his contract. I know he signed a big extension 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But he's still probably got 3 more years in the league. And then you have your Josh Sweat on the other end, and you have Hargrave, and then you have Jordan Davis is still there working on stuff. I don't know. I don't think Ndamukong Suh is going to come back next year because they won't need him, especially if they take this guy. If they take another fucking
Suh
interior.
Keeps taking these 1 year deals with teams to stay alive. I don't know. He's a great player. I don't really understand why.
If they take another interior defender right here, like that's the. I don't understand how you're going to end up scoring a lot of points on these guys because you have elite dudes on all four of your line, and then you have one of the best cornerbacks in all of football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like it's a good team for years to come here.
It's definitely unfair that they have
especially if they get a big boy running back out of there. Because I was surprised, like looking at this top 10, fuck, Bijan Robinson's still out there. Imagine Bijan Robinson on the Eagles. My God, dude. I mean, that would just be fucking beastly.
Yeah, but who drafts? You draft.
A team that's so good that they don't really need that much, where you're just like, hey, how about, I don't know, the greatest running back in college football, like Bijan Robinson?
Is he like going
to
last
longer than... To go with Miles Sanders?
Is he going to last longer than a defensive tackle?
Great question.
No.
Or is the window now where, hey, we've got to win a fucking Super Bowl and, you know, well, I mean, we'll obviously see what happens over the next 2 weeks with the Eagles, but we'll see. We'll see. In the meantime, we will get to the games now and give our picks. Quick update here. Patrick Mahomes just said, I'm ready to go for the AFC title game. Not a huge shock there. We all knew he was going to give it a go. How healthy he's going to be is the other story
here.
Well,
it hasn't affected the line, so Vegas doesn't believe him.
So with his Chiefs-Bengals game, it is actually swung the other way.
Yeah.
So this started off as a +1.5 for the Bengals. It is now down to a pick'em. I think that is because of the injury.
No, it started out at +2.5.
And it had gotten down to Bengals -1.5 last night.
Yes. So I whatever's going on here with his line.
Well, what happened is, I mean, if you see Bengals -1.5 on the road in fucking Arrowhead, smash. I guarantee you pro gamblers, the big boys, fucking smash that shit.
Yes, they did. And they come in and they lay these huge bets, and it really does affect the lines. But we'll get to that game second, since it is second this week. First up is 49ers at the Eagles. This is Philly -2.5, over-under of 46. This is in Philadelphia. This is the first game up, which I'm sure, Delco, you're stoked about because you just want the goddamn outcome. I felt the same way about the CFP, where I was like, you slot that game first just so I can have the fucking answer. That way, if my night's ruined, it's ruined. Like, let's just get it over with. So for this game, D'Anthony, who do you got?
I've definitely got the Eagles in this game.
Okay.
I think they're better on... They're not as good defensively, obviously. Nobody's as good as the 49ers defensively.
But they're second best in the NFC.
But the Eagles are very good defensively.
Yeah.
And I think they're better. Like, their defense is more better than the 49ers offense, then the 49ers defense is a bit more better than the Eagles offense.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like the Eagles have a very dynamic offense. They have multiple threats passing wise. Then they have Miles Sanders has had a really good year. He had 1,300 fucking yards this year. And obviously to have just having Hurts being able to expand the pocket and extend plays on with a team like the 49ers, one of the most important things you can do to stay in the game or beat them is to convert on third down, and having an extra weapon like Hurts' legs to be able to convert on third down is the difference maker in this game.
Yeah. For me, I look at, will they be able to run the ball? Now look, it's tough to say because last week, Pollard, you know, broke his fucking leg in the first quarter, second quarter, whatever it was. He looked like he was moving decently up until that point. Will you be able to run against the 49ers? To me, this game kind of reminds me of Ohio State, Georgia. If you're going to beat a team like the 49ers, I think it's going to come down to Jalen Hurts throwing the ball.
Maybe. I mean,
and I think he's got to get to 35 to 40 points.
The most efficient runner for the Cowboys against the 49ers was Dak Prescott.
Okay.
So he had 5.5 yards a carry.
Okay. Right?
And I think that'll be.
But then that means you would have to rely entirely on Hurts on the ground and throwing the ball.
Not necessarily. I mean, Miles Sanders is still there.
And he's good, yeah. but like,
well, he's not good. He's exceptional. He had 1,300 yards this year.
Well, here's why I can't tell because I've said it in like this conference all year. I don't. Their schedule hasn't been that great all year, so I don't know. The only reason that this game pains me across the board is like I don't know if like Shanahan looked like shit in my opinion in that last game. He looked nervous. He looked like the old, you know, it looked like the fourth quarter of a fucking Super Bowl is what he looked like. There was plays that didn't make sense. There was clock management issues that didn't make sense to me at all. And he looked like he was afraid to trust Brock Purdy. And you got to take the one that got you there. So if you turn Brock Purdy loose again and they look like all the games before, because who's a better defense, Dallas or the Eagles?
That's a good question. Against...
It's Dallas.
Pass rush, it's definitely Dallas, but I think run defense is probably the Eagles. I can look at the stats, but that's me guessing. Hang on, let me look.
But with that, I mean, look, I'm looking at Purdy's numbers last week. Like, they didn't let him do a lot there against that defense, so it's tough. I think...
Again, I think that last week they knew they didn't have to do a lot.
So you think they turn him loose this week?
I don't know.
In my opinion, they should.
They might open it up a little bit more this week because the Eagles are far more competent offensively than the Cowboys are. So I think it struck me last week watching the game that it's not like that everything was on purpose, right? They did look a little shitty for sure. But I don't think that they were ever thought that they needed to score 30 points to beat the Cowboys.
Right.
Yeah. So the Cowboys and
that's what it seemed like, and that's still strange to me because the Cowboys average 35 points a game. So it's like it's odd. It was just an odd game. I mean, yes, they won. They won.
Did defensively, the Eagles beat them in both categories technically, but they're better. The Cowboys are better at getting to the passer, than the Eagles are. But the Eagles have a better secondary, so. Like, how do you gauge that on the passing side? But on stopping the run, they're 80 yards a game better than the Cowboys were.
Okay. And you got McCaffrey back there who can also catch the ball very well.
McCaffrey
Mitchell's pretty good.
I know Debo doesn't want to be a fucking running back, but in the playoffs, you fucking do what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
So they got three legit options out of the backfield.
Debo, Ayuk, Kittle. And look, I'm aware on the other side, you got Brown. You got Smith, you got Goddard, you got Sanders, you got Hurts. Like, both are equal. I think this game will. This is why I've had such a hard time with this. I think this game will come down to Shanahan.
Don't forget about Watkins.
I know, it's going to come down to Shanahan and what he is going to do or wants to do. And
I mean, he's
fuck. Just I had the 49ers going to the Super Bowl.
How many times has Shanahan like fucking gotten too clever for himself and outsmarted himself?
You know, a lot, I mean? Especially in the last games of the year, which we're into right now. But look, I'll stick with it. I know the audience is going to fucking hammer me for this, but I'm going to stick with my pick. I had 49ers in the Super Bowl. I'm going to stick with 49ers in this game. And if he turns Purdy loose, I also don't know the full extent of Hurts' injury, if he's fully healthy or not.
You just watched him play a football game last week.
I did, but he didn't have to throw the ball. And so, you know, when you're playing a team where you can run for 300 yards against, you don't have to do a lot. He even said it himself after the game. He goes, look, I didn't have to do a lot, so I didn't have to test the injury. Mm. And his coach said he was hurt. Now, whether that was a ploy for the 49ers or not, I have no idea. I could be way too much in my head on this one, but I did pick the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and I'm going to stick with that. So I'm going to take the 49ers. Who do you guys got back there?
Who are you dicks taking?
Yeah.
All righty. Well, it's going to be a fantastic weekend for your guy, Delco Dan.
Yep.
Not only is Taylor Montgomery going to win at Torrey Pines on Saturday, cashing a $3,000 ticket. Which
Wait, where is he at right now?
He's at 5 under to finish the day. He's 3 back, but he gets to play the easier course tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So he's currently the live betting favorite.
Okay.
I got him at 30-1, put $100 on that, so that went $3,000. You could have seen that if you follow Drinking Bro Sports on Facebook. So that ticket's going to cash on Saturday. Then my beloved Eagles will cash their ticket to the Super Bowl on Sunday, and we're going.
Okay.
We're gonna
end wait. But two things about this. Okay?
We're going to end up having to get tickets to the game because of the fucking goddamn Eagles go.
Well, I want to go anyways.
I don't.
I do.
I like watching on TV.
I want to be there. I like to be part of the shit. I want to see Rihanna. I want to see Chris Stapleton sing the national anthem, the whole shit. With that, though, Delco.
I'm kneeling.
You should.
For Stapleton, not for the anthem.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously. Delco, with that, would it not be the most Eagles thing ever, though, if you lost that bet on Saturday, and let's say it comes down to to 18, how confident will you feel about Sunday if your guy loses in golf on Saturday?
Like if it comes down to the wire?
Yep.
And he pulls a Will Zalatoris of last year?
Yep.
And no, the Eagles are going to win regardless.
Okay.
And Taylor Montgomery's going to win on Saturday. We're cashing this ticket.
He's speaking true. He's putting it out in the universe now.
Bob, who do you got?
I like the Eagles, man. I don't know. Brock Purdy can't win that many games in a row. The Niners can't win that many games in a row.
I know, I'm with you.
They can't.
They got pretty scuffed. There was a bad stretch for them earlier in the season. I mean, I know they did a pretty good job of mitigating it because they got a great defense, but they didn't look good there for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so, but who knows? It's about getting hot at the right time.
It's a gross team.
Yeah,
like it's a gross team.
Even though there's like weapons all over this field, the defenses are good enough that I don't hate the under either
at 46.
Yeah,
I thought about that as well. Maybe jacking up both because I'm having such a hard time with this, taking the Niners up to 9.5 and then taking the over under up to 53 on this one.
I think it's close enough. I don't think the Eagles are going to win running away. I think the Niners are driving late or like have some desperate possession late where they can like, you know, score a touchdown and go for two.
Your Philadelphia Eagles will win 24-21, thus cashing the under.
Okay. Giorgio, look, oddly enough, I'm going to ask your opinion on this because you know nothing about football. However, you have been correct in a lot of these situations, so I feel it's important you get your opinion.
Yeah, which team's uniform do you like the best?
First of all, I was a 4-star recruit out of high school, so like, put some respect
in
on
wrestling,
me.
You son of for a wrestling. Bitch.
Nobody's doubting your wrestling skills. Okay?
In football.
Oh, and for football?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, it's like shit. All right,
no, but I did play in high school. Yeah, no, the Eagles have this. The Eagles are a tough team on the come up. They started peaking around the right time of the season. They didn't get too many losses to kind of like kill the momentum. So I really think they're going to ride this out.
So you got the Eagles?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There it is. Giorgio oddly gets these right.
I think I lost brain cells listening.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I liked it. I liked it, Giorgio. I appreciate you being high.
And that's how the puppy who lost his way.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I like it. Second to the last game of the year here for the NFL season is the Bengals against the Chiefs. And this will end our show today. This is a true straight-up pick'em, dude. For the last game before the Super Bowl, I have never seen this in my life. And therefore, I am really, really excited for both of these games. The first one, just because I don't know who's going to win. The second one, it's the best of the best, but we'll see how healthy Mahomes is in this.
And also, I mean, unless you're like a super fan of one of these two teams, if you're a fan of any other team, I don't think you I think you're happy no matter how this ends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like these are both teams that I want to see play in the fucking Super Bowl. Yes. So, yeah.
I'm happy with any of the four because I think the four best teams made it to the end.
I think the 49ers and the Super Bowl is going to make it boring, to be honest.
Well, why? Because they'll muck it up and it'll be a dirty game. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think if it's Eagles versus either one of these other two teams, we're going to have a fucking great, probably the best Super Bowl in a very long time.
If you go, like, look, dream scenario.
Because you want to see, like, a fucking 45.
Look, I'm with you, dude. Hopes and dreams, it's Eagles, Chiefs, and then they go fucking shot for shot, and it's 45-48. Like, yeah, let's go.
The Bengals can muck it up, too.
Yes. So I'm with you. Like, if we're going pure sex, and what I wish for, it'd be Chiefs-Eagles. But unfortunately, the league doesn't work like that, and these fucking dirty-ass defensive teams get in there sometimes. It's
probably going to be the Niners and the fucking Bengals.
Yes,
12-9 game or some bullshit. We're going to spend $10,000 on fucking tickets. Like,
Burrow's going to break his leg in the first quarter from Bosa. Who you got here, Burrow versus Mahomes?
If that was the game, then I would be picking Mahomes, but it's not. It's the Chiefs versus the Bengals, and I got the Bengals.
Yeah. I think, just because of the full team or Mahomes' health?
It's both. I mean, look, the Chiefs are better on defense than they get credit for, no question. I mean, they got a fucking guy nominated for Defensive Player of the Year, so obviously they're pretty good over there. But I think the Bengals, even on offense, are a lot more well-rounded. There's more options there, and they got a much better run game than the Chiefs do. And that matters in the playoffs, to being able to control the clock and shit.
Yep.
And, you know, look, you can say Burrow's that dude or Pat's that dude. You don't get an opportunity to see that dude play that dude very often.
Yep.
So I don't really care what happens here. I think my gut tells me the Bengals are going to win this game, but this is going to be the favorite part of my Sunday, watching this shit.
Both of these games.
Yeah.
I think both of these games are really fucking great, and it's a joy to be able to have probably the four best teams actually make it. Mm-hmm. Because even just looking at the lines, Vegas knows. It's great. But for that reason, in the second game, Bengals have been playing more as a complete team. Their defense has actually looked pretty decent through the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Burrow is on fire. I don't know. Like, a high ankle sprain from Mahomes. Look, you're going to get the shot. Is it the beginning of the game, or is it going to be at halftime?
He might get two.
Which you're going to choose? Well, the second one's going to be worthless. So I'm going to go Bengals in this one, and this will be where a majority of my money goes. But deep in my heart, I hope it's the other two.
Live line it.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to make a bet before the game.
No. I will anyways.
I'm going to as well. Yeah. I'm just saying, if you're a fan out there and you don't know what's going to happen here, you're too worried about Mahomes' health or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Just give it a couple series and see what it looks like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dalco, who do you got? Bengals, Chiefs.
Got the Bengals.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Is that a heart bet? Explain your bet.
No.
He didn't give a shit about any of these teams.
Mahomes is banged up. I mean, I don't really give a shit about Joe Burrow or the Bengals, but I do think he is a legit guy who just wins games when needed. And I really want to be on this block that he keeps getting the Super Bowls and loses like John Elway.
Yeah.
So you have Eagles beating Bengals in the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay. Rob, who do you got?
I can't see how the Chiefs lose twice in a row to the Bengals at home.
Four times. Well, twice in a row at home and four times total.
Total, yeah.
Well, and also, you know what I mean? Twice in a row at home in the AFC Championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like those odds.
The odds are against it, for sure.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Mahomes is like Andy Reid losing in a conference championship game at home?
Look, man, it's a different Andy. This is burnt and Andy.
Is it a different Andy?
This is burnt and Andy. He's got this is ring Andy.
Yeah,
he's not eating fucking cheesesteaks like a poor anymore.
Yeah.
He's eating burned up brisket.
Sure is.
Like an even poorer person,
sure,
I guess.
Sure is.
No. You got to say that burnt ends are, even though I don't care for them that much, that's still a step up from cheese whiz and sliced meat.
Oh, like, listen, whatever. Yeah. Cheesesteaks are good, but like, I'm not going to like ride or die on a hill for cheesesteaks being like a, like, whenever people are like, oh, you can only get like a true cheesesteak in Philly, I'm like, yeah, probably not. Yeah. You're probably gonna get
you can buy Steakums at Costco and some cheese whiz and make the same goddamn thing.
Yeah, super hard. I like the Chiefs here. I think they win.
Okay, so you would have Chiefs versus Eagles, then who do you got in that one?
Because
the beauty of this is it'll change in 2 weeks, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, yeah. If I had to go right now, Man, again, that would especially depend on Mahomes' health, but
yeah, but he's gonna have 2 weeks off too.
Right.
Yeah,
you know what, man? I'm just going Chiefs all the fucking way at this point.
Okay. Look, I gunned ahead. I was Chiefs 49ers, and then I had the Chiefs beating the 49ers.
It's never a bad idea to bet on Patrick Mahomes. Don't give the Chiefs points because they will fucking fuck you every time.
I know.
But if it's just a straight up even bet, which is what this is,
pick 'em.
It's never a bad idea to give Mahomes.
He shows up for the conference championship game to prove to everyone that he is Patrick Mahomes. I don't think the Bengals can beat him again like that. It's just I know they have their number, but like he's gonna show up. I don't know if he has the gall to really carry it through in the Super Bowl. Like, I think the injury is going to set in later. Like, we're going to be expected by how well he plays in the conference championships. And then in the Super Bowl, he's going to be very underwhelming. And we're going to be like, where was his injury 2 weeks ago? Why wasn't it here? And I think Eagles are going to take it home.
So you got Eagles over the Chiefs.
Yeah. Also, keep in mind, obviously Mahomes is hurt, right?
Yep.
And I know that this happened to the Bengals last year, but half the Bengals offensive line is hurt too.
Yeah, but it's the same half that was hurt. Last
ironically, because a listener pointed that out to me, and I was like, "Oh fuck!
How well can you replicate that?"
Yeah, certainly.
Right, like it's there's so much going on.
To your point, Giorgio, about Mahomes and having the gall or whatever. So he got heartbroken in the 2018 AFC Championship game. Brady came back and fucking. Fourth 14 seconds or some shit.
Yeah.
But remember what happened the next season. He came into every game. They went down in every single game. They went down by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, fuck you. And blew it up.
Yep.
That Houston game where they went down by 12, he was down by 20 points.
24?
It's like
24 points.
That's gonna happen.
In the second
quarter. We were out. We were in Dallas, right?
Yeah,
with Benny and fucking Alex and all those guys. And I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're winning by 10 points.
I was like, wait, what?
They covered.
They ended up covering it.
They were down by 24 and they won by 20. 51-31.
They ended up covering the spread because we had money on it.
If you're wondering about if this dude can fucking if he gets motivated by shit like that, then he does. And that's the only Super Bowl they've won with him.
Yeah. Either way, bet with us or against us on Sunday at mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposits. No matter who you're betting on, what your fan base is, I think we're all lucky that it came down to these two games.
Mm.
And hopefully they live up to the hype here because, truly, I think the four best teams made it at the end of the day. Only gripe is, you'd like to see if Hurts isn't at full strength or Mahomes isn't at full strength. So we'll find out on Sunday. Who knows in that regard? But then that's the point to hammer the live lines if they're not. Take advantage of that and what you see with injuries and things like that as the game goes along. We appreciate you tuning in. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. Just click a 5-star and walk away for Drinking Bros Sports. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Conference Championship Pick'em Show. Good night, everyone.